Hello and welcome to another episode of Feeling Ranty. I'm your host, Dre, here with my buddy, pal, amigos, friends, compadres. How many more words or friends I can use? I don't know, but I'm going to try to add some more next week. I'm here. I'm going to start off with the person that's furthest from me. Thank God, because she's an Eagles fan. Amanda, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you guys?
It looks extra sunny there in Miami.
It's actually the most beautiful day ever today. I'm just loving it. It's like 70 and sunny, and it's amazing.
You don't need to rub it in.
I know.
It's great over here in Gotham City, and it's the same gloomy gray that we can just... Last time I saw the sun was when I was in Tokyo. I had to go to a different country.
Ashley, I don't know how you guys do that. That makes me crazy.
I'm using your full government. How are you?
Yeah, it's like when my mother tells me off or something. Every time somebody calls me by my phone, I'm like, Ashley.
She sat up real straight.
I am doing lovely. Battling public transport is never the one, but we're here. I've freshened up, got a nice drink. Life is good.
Yeah, full disclosure, myself, Ash and Tyler, who you're going to be introduced to, have just stuffed our guts full of Hard Rock cafe food. And then we rush back here to do this, lovely podcast. So, I'm feeling a little bit sugar rushed at the moment for that barbecue glazed ribs that I had. George,
oh, good Lord.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm hanging on in there with my one working arm. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Oh, yeah, that right. So full disclosure, George is, I don't know if it's a full disclosure, it's like I'm keeping a secret, but George has had some keyhole surgery in his arm. And where, you know what, I everyone's going to call him a hero. I think he's being selfish because he won't let me have my rematch of a go-kart. You know, because he's at the moment, quote unquote, injured.
The crown will stay on my head.
So this is not fair because I think this is the perfect time for him to challenge me again with one arm where I have two. If he beat me, I'll never ever do it again. So we got a new boy here, a Gen Z-er, which we will reveal why we have Tyler from Verge Magazine. Here with us this week. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. And I'm 5,000 miles from home, but I'm loving it. So can't complain about a thing.
He is, he's currently drunk because he can drink over here. So, I'm just doing full disclosure for everything now. Might as well.
I'm immersing myself in the culture. You know, I heard day drinking's a big thing here. So getting ready.
Shout out,
you're one of us now.
Shout out, Hurricanes always does the trick. Definitely for sure. We'll see how the effect of it in our show today. So Tyler, I'm going to come to you first.
Can't
of all,
wait.
Because we'll get some of the serious stuff out of the way. Obviously there's a big story in the States with women's college football, which is amazing. It's dominating the headlines, but I feel that there's been a bit of unfair treatment, which you're going to give me the background of, to Angela Reese compared to Caitlin Clark. So give us a background and lead us to where we are right now.
So right now we're kind of going through, most people really have been paying attention to March Madness over the last few years, but recently you guys have probably heard a name thrown around. She made an appearance during, the NBA All-Stars game and, that whole challenge area around a month ago now. But Caitlin Clark, a world-class player right now, broke the NCAA scoring record for both men and women, I'm pretty sure, and is just dominating right now. She is the female Steph Curry, and I'm pretty sure her range is deeper than Steph's. So she is really, really, really killing it right now. And as we're in this kind of March Madness for women's NCAA, or is it WNCAA, we also, there's a lot of women that are heating up right now. And it's bringing a lot of attention to the WNCAA, and people are really starting to get attached to it, right? I think the biggest thing has always been with, women's basketball from a college level to a to a professional level has always been, you know, there isn't a lot of engagement with the fans and with people like Caitlin Clark and, you know, Angela Reese and Juju, another top player right now in the college scene. These players are bringing the heat. Like, they're bringing the passion and the challenge to the game that we see in NBA. We see it in men's college basketball, which is what makes so many fans love watching it. Recently, you know, we had the biggest matchup that we've seen was Angela Reese versus Caitlin Clark. These are two big names, right? Angela Reese plays for LSU and Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. And these two teams just matched again during the this, you know, tournament bracket. And compared to last year, Caitlin Clark helped and took Iowa all the way through. Iowa Hawkeyes took it, and now they're going towards the quarterfinals, technically the semifinals. And there's a lot of hate going around. There's a lot of immediate attention being thrown at this kind of beef. I say it in quotations because I think beef is not what it is. Media, you know, as we know, media loves to hate more than it loves to love. So I think the biggest thing, you know, we've been hearing is a lot of this Angela Reese hate and, you know, it all being kind of scrutinized on her. And the reason is, during last year, when LSU beat Iowa in the quarterfinals, or I think it was maybe the semifinals last year, pretty much they, as you know, they're coming off the courts and they're going back into their respective huddles before, you know, shake hands. Angela Reese did Caitlin Clark's signature, you know, taunt, where she does kind of the John Cena, "You can't see me," right? And she points to her ring. And so, you know, LSU would go on. But after that kind of whole event, you know, one of the reasons that this game is so much more entertaining now is because, like I said, they're bringing the heat to it, right? Trash talk is a thing in every professional sport ever. And if you take it out, then you've got a bunch of people being quiet, only talking to their, we're watching like middle school basketball now, right? There is no entertainment value to it. And so this year, right, we saw these two teams come against each other, and Iowa this time came out on, and, you know, it's kind of been dissipating, but more especially leading up to this game, people have been just laser focused on these two outstanding players and the quote unquote beef that everybody wants to give them. The biggest issue has been that even though Caitlin Clark, right, there's a lot of this trash talk, like I had mentioned, Caitlin Clark is known for being a really big trash talker. If she will go on that court and miss five shots in a row, will still talk trash to the guy on guarding her. She's waved off defenders. She's pointed at ring fingers. I mean, she does it all. But, you know, last year when Angel Reese went off and, you know, did her whole "you can't see me," everybody just took a step back, right? Because all of a sudden, and I think even Stephen A. Smith even talked about this on his show, but all of a sudden it seemed like there was kind of a negative connotation to it, right? There was almost like all of a sudden, because it's not America's sweetheart, right? It's not Caitlin Clark, who's the up-and-comer in the league or in college basketball right now, it looks like, okay, all of a sudden she's a villain because now she's talking trash. And I think it's been really good, you know, after this last game that we saw on Monday where these two teams came out on top. You know, we saw Caitlin Clark and Angela Reese hug. You know, they traded words at the, you know, at the end of the game when they were in a little bit of a huddle. And in the post game, they clarified once and like, there is no beef, right? And so I think that one of the big things that I think we need to take away from this kind of these kind of media discrepancies is we need to leave these players alone outside of the game, right? When we're talking about kids, man, like they're athletes. We're not talking about guys like KD or, you know, up and comers like Luka when they were going in or any sort of professional. These are people in college. These are women that are still playing the sport before they're finished with school. And yet somehow we've gone from talking about the sport and the athlete. Now we're talking about the person, right? Because people are only recognizing Angel Reese for, you know, taunting Caitlin Clark. They're criticizing her character, right? They're calling her out, saying that she's being the villain. And because they were last year, she's getting even more criticism for it. One of her teammates mentioned, and I'll kind of leave it on this, was talking about, you know, all this, you know, this crap that she deal with recently. And the crown, that the head that bears the crown is the heaviest, right? Bearing that crown of, not only did you win, well, you know, after taunting and being all competitive, now you're the villain, right? Because everyone's favorite sweetheart is going on a run to go try to win another, you know, another championship. It's somehow the same person with the same fur, with the same competitive spirit, is now the villain. Like, it's crazy that we're villainizing college students. Because, I mean, in my position, if I played a college sport and somebody started villainizing me for trash talking a team, even though at the end we're shaking hands and we're like, we're in a hug or we're in a huddle. I mean, that nobody stands for that, right? And so I just think it's crazy to kind of villainize people like that. So I think from this, we need to just kind of learn that we need to be supporting the athletes, and we can always, you know, do these media stories and exposés on the kind of actors on the court. But when it gets off the court, we need to leave it off the court.
So
Amanda, you're obviously in the States and you see this way more than we do. We have to delve quite deep to be able to get some of these stories in the UK. But what's your overall take on the outcome to our UK gang?
Yeah, I actually have a couple. The first, like, you know, when I watched all this last year to this year, because, you know, it's the storylines have kind of played from this year to the last year. But one thing I thought was, if this was men, it really wouldn't have been that big of a deal, right? Like, and that's where I kind of come around. I'm like, these girls, like, this is part of the game. They're competitive, they're playing. But because they're females, I feel like they're making such a bigger deal out of it and making it to such a hype where I'm like, they're just playing the game, they're competitive. But I feel like the idea of women, even in sports, is supposed to be like, we're docile, like, you know, we don't talk like that. And it's not a big deal. They're just doing a competitive nature. That, you know, that's one part. The other part is I actually love it for the game. You know, kind of what you said, in the States, it's always like men's basketball. It's such a thing here. And like, no one even pays attention, especially, you know, to really any women's sports, but not basketball. And this year, I feel like the last 2 years, just this rivalry between them, like LSU and Iowa, has brought so much to the sport that I even heard people this year say, oh, next year I'm going to do a women's bracket. I've never heard that in my entire life. You know, I'm turning 35 years. I've never heard people say, oh, I can't wait to do a women's bracket next year. But now people want to, and it's exciting, and they're bringing, you know, to the sport. And I have a daughter, and I think it's great for that, because I've heard her say, you know, my son always say, oh, I want to be a basketball player when I grow up, I want to do this. And she's a soccer player, and she'll straight up tell me, you know, I want to play soccer in college, but I don't think I want to go further because, like, women don't really get paid anything. And it's not a good job for women. And she knows that at 7 years old. So to see, like, the sport grow and, like, you know, being highlighted now where people are getting involved and media and, like, these girls are, you know, doing stuff, I think it's so inspiring for, you know, young girls here in the state.
Just one last thing on that. Do you feel, and obviously it's the elephant in the room, do you feel like it, because the, you know, Caitlin Clark is white, American sweetheart, all those things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Angela is black. She's from Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, she's got, in theory, an attitude. She's like, you know, quite, you know, a strong woman, you know, and very strong minded. Do you feel that there's like a lot of racism, you know, kind of focus towards her?
100%. Yeah, I think it's super important that you see sort of like the disparity of it. And, you know, I think there was like actually a good amount of like racism, I think, around the tournament this year. I know like the all women's basketball team had some issues where they had to move them. And I think for her, like the treatment of it, it's super unfortunate because I don't see their behavior being that different. But I do think, you know, Reese gets more of the brunt of it. And part of that probably is her personality on social media. Like, she plays into it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If that was like a male figure, someone else doing that, it would be understood. It would be like, you know what? That's just the sport. That's, you know. But for her, I feel like it's taken for multiple reasons to such a different level. When in the end of the day, she's a good competitor. And she's there and she plays into that attitude. And I think it makes her, you know, exciting.
George and Ash, you guys are kind of up to speed on it. Obviously, we have to delve a little bit more because it's not on our headlines. But yeah, you know, what's your take?
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind for me is the new head coach of the Patriots, Jared Mayo, what he said about how if you don't see color, then you don't see problem. And a lot of this kind of goes down that route in terms of, all right, so they're both doing the same thing. They're both, you know, just playing their characters, playing amazingly about their sports. Yeah, one is glorified and one is vilified. And the only obvious thing there is, oh, you're black and you're white. So your aggression is seen as too much. Your aggression is seen as, oh, it's all right, you're the sweetheart. That shit can't run. But sadly, it happens, you know, it continues to happen. And that is a negative side of it. But the other side of it, I think, is the whole attention on women's sport. Like on my phone where I get updates and sports notifications, I don't think I've ever had this many notifications about women's basketball ever in my, and I'm 32, ever in my 32 years, ever, to the point where we were saying it in the group, like the three of us were talking about it in the group, and I'm thinking, do you know what? I'm actually going to go and watch these games, not in person, because I'm not in the States, but I'm going to go watch these games because I want to see her ball. I mean, I saw the point and the whole argument about why the three-point line wasn't the same and all of that, but I have never seen this much attention on women's volleyball, and I think it's sick. I think it's just so dope. Like, it's so good. Just if we can remove all that trash and all the, like, just let them play. It's part of the game. And just like you said, Amanda, no one would bat an eyelid if this was the guys. Would not bat a single eyelid. But just, yeah, just to wrap up, my last point is the media as well are always going to do whatever they can to turn a positive into a negative because it's about money. They don't give a shit. They don't care. They will spin. I was watching a documentary last night where something happened. It's called Coma for my UK people. Dre actually might have heard about Coma. And literally a reporter's come into the man and said, look, doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to publish a story anyway. So you either tell me what you want to say. Like, it's kind of like a lose-lose. But if we can get rid of that side of things, the world will be a much better place.
Yeah.
Big up women's basketball.
Agreed.
Yeah, for me.
Last word.
I will say this. If it wasn't for the media kind of broadcasting and showcasing this beef rivalry between them, half of the people outside of America would not even know Caitlin Clark's name or Angel Reese's name. They just wouldn't. Fair. So I do think it's been great because even I've been invested thanks to videos that I've seen online. Hey, yeah, they're shit talking Angel Reese more than they are Caitlin Clark. You know, they're going in a lot more on other LSU players as well rather than anybody else just because, hey, they have a bit more of an attitude. But I think, you know, that's kind of where the joyous thing of competitive rivalries come about. We spoke about this the week, George and Dre, you know, you don't want to see a game where everybody's just lovey-dovey, shaking hands and stuff. You want to have a bit of drama and everything. Mm. So, I mean, whilst I think the media has gone a bit OTT with what they've done, singling people out, and I've got to agree, obviously, with everyone else here, you know, the men's game, this wouldn't be an issue. But the women's game, okay, the media love it. But the positive is a ton more people are now aware of names in this sport. They're getting into this sport a bit more. So there are like little bits of silver linings here. But I always think as well, you know, anybody who wants to go in and become an athlete at the highest level, I think nowadays needs to be aware that the media can and will at any point either love you or turn against you straight away. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, it's a big learning curve for some of these younger athletes coming in. You know, you might think something's a little bit of banter, you know, you're saying something in a bit of a jovial way, the media can spin that and then suddenly you're the villain. And Joy Taylor had Angel Reese's back the other day. I think she spoke on a show and a clip circulated online. And the other guys that were there with Joy Taylor, they were saying, oh, well, Angel Reese's said that she's the villain. She's proclaimed herself as the villain. But Joy Taylor said, you know, well, somebody said that she was the villain first of all. So, hey, she's, you know, she had like not played up to it, but okay, she's just been like, okay, well, if that's what people want to perceive me as, let's go with it. And I'm going to prove you wrong. But, you know, some of these girls, regardless, coming out of basketball at the moment, they are looking fierce and dominant. So I think keep it up, keep that kind of rivalry, you know, not kind of be aggression. You don't want somebody to end up in a fight or anything, but you've got to be an aggressive competitor, I think, to make it to the highest level. So, you know, it's exciting to watch. You know, it's great to see women's sport be pushed out in the media more. But yeah, I think it does need to keep an eye on what they're doing, keep an eye on kind of racial motives as well. I think, and even the Washington Post, I know, have like come in ham for LSU over the past like few months and everything. So, you know, there's just so much that they need to learn and do better from. But yeah, I mean, without it, I wouldn't have gone down the hole like 3 a.m. a few months ago and then decided that, you know, these girls and stuff are awesome and I need to watch more. So positives and negatives. So hopefully, you know, younger generations moving up won't have to deal with the same things. But hey, I mean, it's 2024. Sad that, you know, we are still seeing it happen, but hopefully we're learning from it as we go along as well.
Yeah, I mean, my last word on this is like, it's you know, men's professional basketball NBA is personally, like, it's at its worst ever regarding competitiveness and interest. You know, and then also men's college basketball is as worst as it possibly has ever been. And, you know, we have something that is actually really interesting where we have, you know, a rivalry. We have people who are committed to winning, committed to playing hard. You know, people just complaining 2 minutes ago about their All-Star game being soft as and as lame as possible. Oh, and then now you have something mm-hmm. that's like as hard as possible, and people are playing their hearts out because obviously they want a living, they want a professional living in the sport. And you know, we've got something really interesting, and then you know, these archaic men, and it's men who are doing this in the media, you know, A, obviously bringing the mm-hmm. racial agenda, and then it's always the black athlete is the one with the attitude or overly aggressive or you know, too much villain is a horrible word to be calling someone who's like a 21 year old or whatever she is, like really just a kid. And so for me, my breaking point was when I saw Angel Reese on the podium crying. Like, and that's like the whole nation of media just keep on focusing on her. And she's a very strong person, as I said, like she's Baltimore through and through, and they're quite strong people from what I've met anyway. And by the end of the day, is that everyone, no matter how strong you are, is a breaking point. And we don't want to, we want to, you know, really get more women to be competing in this sport and playing this sport. Mm-hmm. So therefore we can have a bracket and all these exciting things that we've been having for men for ages, but we're going to turn women off of playing because not everyone's there to be handled. Not everyone can handle the spotlight, and especially negative spotlight, these men. So please, somewhat racist men in the media, please, can you back off for these kids? Because they're kids. Leave that to the adults. Mm-hmm. You focus on some of them mm-hmm. NBA people who you're going to see face to face, not these young girls, you know, cowards. So we'll move on to something nice. Now, I was lucky to be in Japan over the last week, which was a complete treat. And thank you to Formula E, for taking me out there to experience like what. You know, I you know, bucket list stuff. It's amazing. But mm-hmm. you know what? I noticed a few things out there with behaviors. So one, I noticed that, you know, on the subways, then no matter how rushed people are in rush hour, everyone's moving in the same direction. And if everyone's not pushing in front of each other, then we all get there as quickly as possible. So it worked like systematically, like amazingly quick. Then two, I noticed, which is something that I'm sure that we've all experienced here, you know, no people talking on the phone. And not only that, no people talking on loudspeaker. So Jesus, why ask Lord. You guys now? Because this is becoming a global pandemic, and it's something that the whole world organization should be sorting out. Why are people talking loud on the phone, on loudspeaker? I don't care about your conversation, what you're going to have for dinner, whatever you guys are going to be doing, or whatever gossip there is. Now I'm not going to lie. Clearly, if it's gossip, I'm going to listen to it. But and I have turned off my music to listen to their conversation. However, help me help myself by not having these conversations. George, please tell me that I'm not the only one.
I don't understand for the life of me why there are certain kind of people out there who just want people to know their business. I don't get it. I mean, you have a phone for a reason. Ain't no one asked you to put your damn phone on loudspeaker so the whole world can hear what you're saying, what you're having for dinner, what John didn't get you from the shop, what's going on at home at yard. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody actually cares. Do you feel the need to, oh, hold on, let me take this call. Wait, hold on, let me put you on speaker. I'm on a train. There's about 50,000 people. Let me put the speaker. Hold on, one sec. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, this train is packed, man. There are dickheads on this train. Like, I can't even. Sorry? Why? I don't get it. What's the agenda? But then, flip, there are those people, and I know of some of them, who they have this thing in them, right, where they feel cool or they feel like they're that person if they put the phone on speaker and everyone can hear their conversation with the other person. It just doesn't make any sense to me any way, shape, or form. I can't ever be that guy. I have secondhand embarrassment, third-hand embarrassment, fourth-hand embarrassment. I never want to be near anyone who does that kind of shit. And if that's one of them people that do that, stay the hell away from me. I don't need that.
I'm going to come to you last time because it is Gen Z that actually has done this. So this is
weird. It's weird.
Because we had enough of your shit. So Amanda,
sorry, Tyler.
you Amanda, please tell me you know, your thoughts on this. Like, you know, obviously it's different because you guys aren't on public transportation.
I was going to say, I never really, yeah.
But you know, do you know,
we never take public transportation in Miami.
No.
I feel like in Miami, you don't take public transportation here, but in Miami, it's on speaker FaceTime. People FaceTime in public all the time, everywhere, like on the beach. And I'm like, this is even weirder because now I see the person and I have to look because, like, I mean, I'm nosy, but they're FaceTiming. So it's not even that. It's the FaceTiming, which I think is even weirder. It's weirder. I don't know. Like, they'll be sitting on the beach, like, just on FaceTime. I'm like, what's this? This is so weird.
It's so intimate
because now I'm seeing this other person's house and it's like this intimate, weird experience where I'm like, you don't even know me. Do you want me to see your house? No, I'm looking at it.
That someone's on the phone. I have, you know, some Gen Zers in this house, and then I'll be in my you know, going upstairs in my boxer shorts upstairs, minding my own business, getting a late night snack that I shouldn't be having, and then my son will be in the kitchen, and then I'll hear or something like that, and I'll be like, who's that? And it's someone else. Like on the screen with him, just like watching him, like he's a show. Like, what's going on? Ash, please make sense of this.
You know what? I completely forgot about people FaceTiming others in public without phones on or anything. It has happened to me a few times, and just packed trains here in the UK with people speaking loudly, but then also like FaceTiming when you're sat next to somebody. It's bugbear because when I put my headphones in, I'm like, I can still hear your conversation. Oh, it's just infuriating. But take that and then add it in when somebody's like walking down the road in front of you and they're not paying attention, and then they walk into you because they're too busy speaking on speakerphone, but then also like on FaceTime and stuff as well. You know what? I'm going to say it. Those are the sort of people that I want to push into oncoming traffic. I mean, I would. Yeah.
My hands left. And look, just actually lift your head up and look, right? Look at what's going on.
It's infuriating. I'm one of those people, say if I have to take a call and I'm out in public, it doesn't actually happen very often. I'll text. I'm speaking relatively quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, if I've got like the long headphones in, I'm holding that little thing up so like people don't have to hear my personal business. You're so right. People aren't that important enough to walk around screaming about their business outside. Nobody cares. I'm just like, oh, like, just fuck off. Do you know what I mean? push them.
Before we hold the Gen Z king, Tyler, accountable for all of his actions of his fears. George, do you have something?
Yeah, I've got to say, listen, I'm thinking back in the day, like, if I was at home or out with my mum and dad, my mum in particular, and I was on FaceTime with someone in the street, in the house, or on loudspeaker, she would have whooped me real quick, real quick. Like, who's get that person off my, what are you doing? Showing them like, I don't get it. I'm about to be showing people my house and all that. No. It's definitely a generation thing. So Tyler, you got a hell of a lot of explaining to do.
Okay, so you can't blame me, first of all. Yes. Okay, so I'll admit it. Since I've been in the UK, right, I live with five people, and so we've had, you know, the biggest obstacle, right, when you're living with people is kind of the privacy, right? Kind of hard to find. And so when I'm talking to, I might be talking to my mom, might be talking to my dad, my grandparents, right? But there's this neat, amazing invention that we created, like, I don't know, like 20 years ago, and way before that. They're called headphones, people. Created them not so you could just listen, but this neat cosmetical thing that you think is just for fun, this is a microphone. And so my word to all the other Gen Z people would be, use them. Novel idea. My explanation for this would definitely be the main character syndrome. And it's a disease that spreads throughout. It's not just in the FaceTime. You can see it in trends on TikTok and Instagram Reels. You've got people who are just taking out, you know, their phones, you know, putting it on Andre's favorite 0.5 filter, turning it around and just running through crowds, right? And all of a sudden, right, all they care about is that they've got this this really cool video of them being the center of attention, right? And so, like George kind of mentioned, right, it's kind of about being the center of attention. Like, it's kind of like that. Because to a certain point, when I can hear you five cars down when I'm on the tube, that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, the elderly man sitting next to me had to turn off his hearing aids because you're being too loud. Like, it gets to a point. And I'm so glad that somebody brought it up. But the FaceTime is awful. Here's the worst story that I have of it is I was in the grocery store, right? I went to Aldi, I was shopping for dinner, I talk to my mom when I'm shopping for groceries, right? I sometimes don't know what to buy. FaceTiming your buddy, right? Just chatting, right? But then doing the thing where you don't just like kind of have it at your stomach, right? Where it's kind of, you have it like up facing 90 degrees. Yeah. Your arm is at 90 degrees and you're facing like talking to a person. And it's like you're vlogging to an audience of one. And it is the most insane thing. Cause not only can I enter this delusion where you're having this one person conversation in public, but I can see this other human being who is fully bought into this and not mentioning like, hey, do you want to call? Like, do you want to, hey, I don't want people to see where I live. I don't need to give people the MTV crib tour of my house. Like, it's insane. So I resonate with all of you. I am so sorry for this interruption, but I can confidently say that I have, and if I ever do, I pray. Just take the phone and like chuck
that shit.
Maybe don't push me into oncoming traffic, Ash. Maybe just the phone.
But
it's
bad.
Vlogging to one person. I always used to wonder, like, how the confidence of people going around and making these vlogs and putting them out on YouTube is one thing, but that is such a good analogy. Like, come and spend a day in the life with me.
I like that. You know what? I must say this. I think that I might have done that once as well.
Great. Leave.
Oh, right. No.
End this podcast. End it right now.
Right. All right. So we're going to put it to the public. You, the people. We're going to put this poll on Instagram. Which is worse? FaceTiming in public or loudspeaker in public? Which is worse? I'm feeling that this group feels FaceTiming is worse because it's far more intrusive.
Takes it too far.
But we're gonna
Can we have FaceTiming on loudspeaker in public?
Yes.
I like that. Yeah. We're gonna have three.
Yeah, because there's no excuse.
That's
for that.
The worst. Yeah.
But you know what? I must say this, and we've got 5 minutes to discuss this one before we take our Gen Z challenge to see who is the oldest in the brain of all of us here.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
So, one thing I found out, and we could discuss this next week for sure, but I'm interested to get your take, especially Amanda. I think she's going to kick off about this one. One guy was actually having a conversation about his friends, and he was saying that he has a type. A girl was having a conversation with a guy, and he was saying he has a type, and he said that he goes out of girls with like a big backside and big boobs, and you have to have a certain length of hair, and then that's it. If it's not like that, he's not interested at all. And then the girls was like, well, you can't do that, you can't have a type. And I was like, in my head, because I was clearly listening, I was like, women have a type all the time. They say tall, dark, and handsome all the time. So us small people, you know, if you're 5'9" and under, then you don't exist in any form of way. So is it right for men to have a type? Amanda, please answer to the crimes of women.
I think everyone has a type, right? I don't know. I feel like that's how it is. Like, you can say you don't and you want to be all like, I don't have a type, but everyone has a type. And you expect that for men. You know, I don't hate on that. I think most men do have a type, but I think exactly what that man said is probably most men would say is their type. So, you know.
But she got mad at
men. But is it tall, dark, and handsome?
Okay for men to have a type.
I would not get offended by that because I think that's normal. Most men have a type just like most women do. I feel like that's completely fine. I'd be like, you have a type. We all have a type. It's weird if you don't.
What is going on here? This earthquake in New York must have like unbalanced the universe because me and Amanda agree in some way. Like, what's going on?
I know, right?
Ash,
That is it right for men to all say all the energy in the shifted.
Is it okay for men to say that they have a specific type, just like women do?
Yeah. I mean, what's people who say that they don't have a type, men or women, first of all, they're liars. 100% lying. And second of all, if they do say that, they probably struggle to keep and maintain relationships themselves. You know what I mean? There's something weirdly wrong with them. Everybody has a type. Of course they do. It could be something small. Hey, it could be something, you know, like, oh, I really like guys with blue eyes. You know, little things like that. Or it could be like the whole thing. You know, I want somebody with a specific size breasts. I want, you know, them to be sporty. I want them to like this, this and this. Everybody's got a type. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying it. That is such a female thing to get annoyed about, though. Oh my God, this guy said that he only likes this specific kind of girl.
I know.
And then suddenly that I'm not fitting into that type that this guy likes. So then I'll get annoyed about it. It's such a female thing. Yeah, because if it was the other way around, guys wouldn't care. They'd just be like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
It is what it is. You know, I'm not going to cry about it. Yeah.
Let's go to our Gen Z correspondent, Tyler. Is it okay for men in your you know, age demographic, generation. Your generation, for you to say, you know, I like this and this and this and nothing else?
I mean, like, okay, so like there's levels to it, right? And I like they said, like everybody has a type. And like Ash said, like, dude, if you say you don't have a type, you're lying. You're let's be honest. Everyone has a type, everyone has a preference. This is kind of how it is. Now there's like levels to it, right? Cause the line in which you're just kind of like you can have a type, right? Like I like short, sporty women, or being shallow and saying I don't like women who aren't attractive, right? Like there's like levels to it.
Sorry, is this you saying this or
no, this is not me.
He's like, don't set up.
But you know what I mean, right? It's just like it's not crazy. Everyone's got the type, right? And so like saying that, you know, complaining about it is just being salty that you're not part of that type. And I feel like that's where you hear it the most, right? You've got to reject it. It's like, oh, I only like tall guys. Like there were times I've heard that. Yeah, the number of times I've complained about that, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. But everybody's got their type, you know what I mean? So,
George, last word.
Yeah, man, I think of course everybody does. Like, I mean, it doesn't always mean that that's what ends up happening. So probably the ratio is probably more they have a type and actually it's not the type that they actually end up with, because that's what they were thinking. But a part of me also felt like that's more of a thing in the Gen Z world, looking at what these will get up to now. So I'm not speaking for you. I feel like that's more of a thing in their world now, as opposed to everyone else who's like grown and ain't doing all that kind of shit. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like it's still a Gen Z thing quite a bit. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've established in this podcast that Gen Zs are menaces and they must be stopped at all counts.
Yeah. You know,
because, you know, they're out of control. However, we have to, in our last part of this podcast of ours, our chat group as such, be tested to see how in touch with Gen Z we are. So, Tyler, I'm going to let you rule the roost and take over this competition where we all will just shout out the competition, and I'm going to have a look and see. I'll try to tally up
who
numbers.
Wins, yeah.
Who?
All right. No, man, I'm nervous.
Hands up.
All right, people. So this is we're going to make it pretty simple, right? We're going to start off pretty easy. I'm going to give you kind of like a definition, and I want you to try to give me your what you've heard and what you could take a random guess, but what the definition is. Or what that definition matches to in terms of like that Gen Z slang, right? So we'll start out easy. We'll start it easy, all right? It's a word that you use when you've done something successfully or achieved something, right? Just something plain and simple.
Ooh,
crushed it.
Okay.
It's like you've won a game, or you've won a football match, or you aced a test, right? What's the Gen Z slang that, you know, like they come out, yo, that test was a blank space. I'm loving it.
I love that this is starting easy.
For real, like. All right,
the correct answer was Dub, or I would have also taken W.
Oh,
now, Gen Z loves catching the dub.
The dub.
People. Come on. Would it be easier?
You use that during the sports that you're supposed to use that, not anything else.
No, that's
maybe that's
where you disconnected, Dre. Come on,
that's where
we need to need to stop these. They're menaces. But all right, go on, Nick.
All right, would it be easier if I gave you the word and somebody had to give me the right definition of what it is or how you use it?
All right,
let's try that.
All right. All right, somebody tell me how to use the word Riz.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie. Nope.
Actually, I know it. Know that one because my kids use it. It's
okay.
Like a guy's got Riz. Like,
ooh, you know? All right. That's a point.
Have you heard that yet?
Yeah. It's like charisma. Oh. Like he's got Riz.
It's yeah, like more. Swag, it's like focused confidence. On. Yeah. It's focused. Right. Yeah.
Lord,
you're good with the girls. Right. Or vice right, whatever.
Yeah. You it's like it's like spitting game. All right, Dre.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, try to get word. Hate from people.
Okay.
We've got the so I need you to tell me how you would use this. It's a phrase, and the phrase is no shot.
Oh, is that a bit like no cap? Like, if you ain't, so no cap is, like literally, I see this game last night and they whooped a bad no cap, like 50 points, no cap.
Gonna be a point for George.
Ooh, okay.
I've
not even heard that though. I never heard that.
So
I haven't either.
This is good. This is why I made more than 10 because the next phrase was actually no cap. So George, you robbed yourself of another point. You could have just given me one. So now I would like for somebody to tell me how to use the word or how to use the phrase tough. Now, tough, not as in T-O-U-H or G-H-U-F-F.
All right. So basically, we're talking NBA. It's an all-star dunk game. I don't know. Let's say LeBron goes for a double windmill dunk was tough.
Any other answers?
I feel like you didn't like that.
That's how I know it anyway. That's how I know it. Or that fit. Yeah. That fit is tough.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That, yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
That is correct. Though unrealistic, I don't think LeBron's knees are down to do a double windmill anymore.
Ain't LeBron.
All right. Now I need somebody to tell me what this word means. Simp. S-I-M-P.
Nope.
I feel like Amanda's going to know this.
So you're a sucker. Like a soft with the, like if there's a girl you're dating or whatever. You're into, then the person that you're I'm trying to catch these strays from people. So whoever you're into, then if you're too soft with them, or you're too sympathetic, or like you're like a walkover,
like a wet cloth,
simping ain't.
That's the phrase, but you did get it correct, Dre. And you actually hit it on you hit the nail on the head because simp is actually short for sympathetic. Overly sympathetic is a simp. Because no matter what happens when you're talking to a girl and she says, nah, you know, I'm not interested. And then you're persistent, right? You're overly sympathetic. It's like, oh no, I beef. That's what a simp is. Mm. All right. Our next word. Now I know that Amanda has heard too many times in her household. I would like for somebody to tell me how to use the word bussin'.
Oh, bussin'. Yeah, like my kid will eat something like that was bussin'. Like that was bussin', mom. Yeah. Like she'll
tell you like, what?
Bussin'. Like it's like yummy. Like it's like good for her. It's like that's good. Like that's bussin'.
That's wild.
Like I'll make dinner. If I make a good dinner, she'll be like, that's bussin'.
That is
I'm
wild.
Like, okay.
No.
We got to start using that now.
What?
Awesome.
I don't really understand how that came from. Like,
so sure.
But that's what they use.
Okay. That is correct.
Amazing. Clearly,
I knew I was correct because that's exactly how you use that word.
Thank my child for making me not old. the only reason why I'm doing well on this.
This is going to be my last one because I've got a shoot, but I'll let you guys continue.
Okay. All right. Then we'll one more one for you. I would like for somebody to tell me what it means when you say, what is the difference between low key and high key?
Okay, so Is it being obvious and not so basically? Yeah, no, Dre, you go.
No, you're trying to set me up. You're low key trying to set me up.
Like, I would use the phrase low key in a sense, let's say, for example, some people would say low key, Stefan Diggs is a bit washed.
Like, low relevant, key, relevant.
He's turning 31, he ain't got hitting that guy no more. High key might confuse me a bit though, because how I've heard high key is something that's basically really obvious. For example, Tank Dell is that guy, like high key, not low key, because that's, you see what I mean? Like, it's a bit more obvious than the other,
or,
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or George, what about this? Like, if someone says to you, ask you, are you a boomer? Is that low key disrespectful?
Yes.
That's exactly
yes.
Right.
Ash.
That's a point for both Trey and George. Well,
Oh,
that was a good way to use it. What about high key though? Is that right? Or is that
yeah, high key's right. People normally say high key to stuff like that they're full in on. Like, yeah, dude, okay. That food was great. That food was so good at high key. Like, that place was high key a banger. Mm. Or this song is high key a banger. But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of.
I feel like low key is used 1,000 times more than high key.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't think I ever hear high key.
No, ever.
I didn't realize that was one, to be honest. English far too much.
We better quit while we're ahead, because already I feel like I should get a cane and a walking stick, start watching Matt.
Start watching what? I don't even know.
I don't know what they consider old anymore. I just don't want to find out, because I don't want them to disrupt my world. So thank you very much to our resident Gen Z-er, Tyler. We'll have you back on definitely for sure to educate us in a world of new language that I will never understand. And George, appreciate you, brother, for being on. My co-Miamian, Amanda, I hope you're good. Thank you very much for coming on. And Ashling, full government out again. Thank you again for joining us. Look out for us next week. We'll drop some clips. And remember, tell us what's right. What's more wrong, actually? FaceTiming or... if it's worse to, what is it, or be on loudspeaker?
Loudspeaker.
We've got to know these things. We got to put a stop to this in the world, and let's put a stop to these Gen Z ruining everything. Catch you guys next week. Peace.
Facts.
Busting.